Welcome to the club, man.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
This is the worst day of my life.
The worst day of your life so far.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
To infinity and beyond!
Welcome to episode 46 of the Heritage Film Club. This week we are discussing the 1997 romantic black comedy, A Life Less Ordinary. Roll the trailer.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere we...
Who are you anyway?
I'm his daughter.
Drive! Careful.
He cut in on me. You're the worst kidnapper I've ever met.
Well, I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
Have you even asked for a ransom yet?
Like your daughter here, and I'm going to send her back in pieces unless... Oh, I'm sorry, madam. No, I must have dialed the wrong number.
I want her back, and I want him dead.
You know what we should kill him?
Yes.
That's extra.
Not going to kill anyone.
How much are you asking for?
$500,000.
$500,000 is not a lot of money for a woman like me.
I didn't mean it as a reflection of you as an individual.
I remember the good old days.
Don't even ask where I'm going.
Don't even imagine that I care.
All you had to do was introduce a man or a woman. Fate should be the rest. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Just for a minute there, I thought we were in trouble.
Are you gonna leave?
We haven't got our money yet.
No. This is insane.
I'd like to make a withdrawal.
I thought we agreed, no cliches.
Have you ever felt like you're not in control of events?
Yes.
What's wrong?
I thought you were gonna shoot me.
I'm having a great time.
Oh, good.
Are you gonna try to have sex with me?
No. Well, no.
She's half your size and you punch her in the face.
She's got a gun!
That makes everything all right, does it?
What's he gonna do with him?
Shoot him in the back of the head. Would that be a problem for you?
A couple of angels, O'Reilly and Jackson, are sent to Earth to make sure that their next supervised love connection succeeds. They follow Celine, played by Cameron Diaz, a spoiled rich girl who has just accidentally shot a suitor and, due to a misunderstanding, is kidnapped by janitor Robert, played by Ewan McGregor. Although Celine quickly frees herself, she stays with Robert for the thrills, and O'Reilly and Jackson pursue them, hoping to unite the prospective lovers or be stuck on Earth forever. Welcome again to episode 46, and as I said, A Life Less Ordinary is our movie this time. It was my pick, and we're going to talk about it. Man, I haven't done this for a while. Jeez. Okay, so 1997 is when the movie came out. It was written by John Hodge and directed by Danny Boyle. This is Danny Boyle's third movie. It stars, as I said, Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz, as well as a host of other famous people, including Holly Hunter, Delroy Lindo, Stanley Tucci, Ian Holm, Ian McNeice, Timothy Oliphant in a small cameo, Dan Hedaya, Tony Shalhoub, Maury Chaykin, and the list goes on. The runtime is 103 minutes, and it had a budget of $12 million, and it grossed $14.6 million. Now, Rotten Tomatoes. Do you think it was a critics movie or an audience movie, guys? Because if I'd gone in this cold and not knowing, I'd be hard pressed to make a decision. So, Brian, what do you think?
Critics just, I think.
Okay, Jared?
Yeah, it's not an easy one to pick. I'll go audience, just slightly ahead.
Okay, and Clayton?
I'd say critics because, just because.
That means Clayton didn't like it, probably. okay, so it was audience. Critics gave it 41%. And audience 59%.
I'm never right. That's quite a gap.
Very curious as to how our thumb scores will stack up against those. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go around the virtual table, and we'll start with Jared.
You know, I've always said that the way to a woman's heart is to kidnap her. It's just
the most
romantic gesture I can think of. It was quite ridiculous, but I actually kind of enjoyed most of it. It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, but I did find myself enjoying it. I liked Ewan McGregor. There's enough sort of over the top funny parts for me that I'm glad I watched it. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, to see what everyone else thinks though.
Okay, that's starting out more positive than I expected, so yay. All right, Clayton.
Hallmark has corrupted me. Because this movie, I don't see the romance in this movie. And I didn't see the comedy in this movie.
Wow.
I didn't get it. Maybe it just went over my head, but I just didn't get it.
Okay, fair enough.
And I didn't understand the aliens. Oh, not the aliens, the angel people.
I was going to say, there's no aliens in this one, for sure.
I didn't understand the point of the angel people, and I was just like, But yeah, no, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Right. And Brian. Oh, that was a long pause.
There's a long pause because I watched it, 3 days ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the first time for any of our movies I haven't been able to think of a single thread to pin on to go, how am I going to talk about this movie?
Mm.
The best I can do is I was neither underwhelmed nor overwhelmed. I was possibly for the first time ever whelmed.
All right. That has to be a one on the thumbs then.
So where does...
You'd think, wouldn't you?
You would.
Mm. Where does... whelmed rank above meh?
Yeah.
It's got to be above meh.
Now you're getting into the subtleties of the meh.
Well, that has a negative connotation, right?
Meh has it's nudging towards boredom is meh, mm-hmm. if not full boredom. It's above meh.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
I'll take that.
That's my starting point.
I think we need a sliding scale, like hated every second of it, like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, got one of them.
So this is not Wolf of Wall Street.
No, I've got one of them. Yep, okay.
Whelmed, and then, I don't know, Wind River.
Team America. Team America will be the next step, I'm sure.
Yeah, so you're really looking at probably a 5 scale here.
Right.
Then if you're going to go like Wolf of Wall Street, Team America, meh.
Thank You for Smoking would be
something
the top somewhere.
Yeah, the kind of Thank You for Smoking, Wind River, absolutely top end. So probably somewhere in a 5 scale, and I've only 2 thumbs, but I'll work out the maths later.
Right on. Okay, so my turn then, I guess. I really liked it. I liked it. I have, I believe, seen it before, probably back in 1997 or somewhere thereabouts. Can't remember any of it at all. And I think I keep mixing it up with other movies of the era, like Shallow Grave and things like that, which were also by Danny Boyle and had Ewan McGregor. So I didn't know which movie I was going into, really. I think it was a really good cast. I think Cameron Diaz bordered purposely, I guess, because of the character she played, on a little annoying. She definitely played the bitchy role very well. Ewan McGregor is tops always, even in Star Wars. And the prequels, I mean, Obi-Wan was awesome. And I don't know. Tonally, I think it didn't quite know what it wanted to be. But
agreed.
I did find humor in it. I really enjoyed the random dance song number they put in the middle. I think Ewan McGregor did really well in that. It's a, like you say, it's a hard one to find a pathway into the conversation. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like it's in the era that it came out in, this is the sort of movie I really liked. It was sort of not really mainstream. It was maybe a bit too much star power to be an indie movie. It was somewhere sort of in the middle. It was that mid to late 90s type of movie. You know,
was this
an
indie movie? Was it?
Maybe.
I'll rephrase that. Were they well known, like Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz at that time?
It was like Cameron Diaz's something like her eighth movie. She'd done The Mask, which was her
breakout.
It was her debut movie, and it was a massive movie. Ewan McGregor had done Trainspotting already, and that was massive. So I would say that they were probably well known enough, but probably not A plus listers.
Yet, like how they are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even someone like Stanley Tucci in this.
He's so young in this,
not a name. Well built. Like at that point,
he's not the Stanley Tucci you think of. Mm. And it had a relatively small budget. It was $12 million. And, I mean, it was distributed by Fox, which is a surprise it's not on Disney+. I don't even know if it's on Blu-ray because I tried to find it online and was struggling. So, yeah, it's sort of a movie that was made and sort of critically not acceptable. And so it's sort of just languished in obscurity a little bit, I think. But I think it's fun. I think it's worth a watch. And I definitely didn't feel like I wasted my time.
I wish they did more with Cameron Diaz's character, with her, you know how she likes shooting stuff with the apple?
Mm-hmm.
I wish they did more with that.
Hang on, that shooting the apple, not shooting stuff with an apple.
Oh, yeah, she's shooting the apple. I wish they did more with that.
What more did you need? Like genuine question.
Like her just going around shooting shit.
Okay. She has a good shot, though, but it doesn't really play into much in the movie. Like, it's not really setting much up.
I was thinking the same thing. It's a weird way to introduce a character. It's kind of you get that whole quirky vibe right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where she starts off, she's shooting at the apple. And then I suppose that kind of leads into her dad thinking that she's a bit of a waste of space.
Nothing comes from it.
It's just kind of other. We thought it was just a setup, and then from there, you're right. It never really pays off. Other than that, she's supposed to be a bit off the rails, which is probably even too extreme to say that.
Yeah, I mean, just to set the scene, if you are listening to this and haven't watched the movie, it's a William Tell type deal. She has her, I want to say butler, but he's sort of more than that in the end. Ian McNeice. Mm. He is told to put an apple on his head. And she shoots it off with a handgun. And then she does the same to Stanley Tucci, who is proposing marriage to her. And that's sort of what she makes him do to prove himself. Not that it goes anywhere, although it does lead to quite a good scene later in the movie when he circles back into the film and gets a hefty headbutt from Ewan McGregor that I felt on the couch, because you know he's been shot in the front of the head earlier in the movie. And then when he gets headbutted, I was like, oh, man, that made me wince.
At least if he got his teeth knocked out, he'd be able to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know that headbutt reopened the wound, eh?
Oh, yeah, or killed him. But, yeah, the principles of surgery are all the same. So, yeah. I don't know.
Lots of don't try this at home kids moments in this movie then, between ad hoc surgery, shooting, kidnapping, because frankly, if you're going to do it, don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Bad driving.
Robbing
a bank.
In the most casual way ever.
Mm. He wasn't a very good kidnapper.
He wasn't a very good anything. He was a good singer, but bad bank robber, bad kidnapper, like you say. Bad janitor, apparently. Bad novelist, because also that never pays off.
Yeah. Very bad novelist.
I was going to say, what story do you think would have been better, this movie or Marilyn Monroe and JFK's love child solving mysteries and finding treasure?
I feel like that should be...
Child.
That should be National Treasure 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're done.
Yep, that's it.
Well, that was easy. Have a good night, guys.
Did anyone sort of get confused at times by, I don't know if they're angels or what? Like, their motives seem to, I mean, they're obviously trying to play Cupid, but it seems at times they're literally just trying to, like, chase them down and, I don't know, turn them in for the money.
That's what I mean.
They're going so intense. You're like, well, what is their actual motivation right now?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's tonally sort of unknown, right? Like, it's sort of like they didn't know what they wanted to do, because they are angels, because their boss talks to God in that final act. But then on the other hand, they are sort of more Cupid. And then when they're on Earth, they're very unholy. They're very like, we are going to kill these people or whatever, you know, like obviously they're trying to put them in a extremely volatile situation to force them together, right? I assume that's the point.
Figure, yeah.
Mm. Apart from the they go way to the extreme.
So. You're gonna dig a ditch, and then we're going to put a bullet in the back of your head.
But then Holly Hunter's sitting there saying, Jeopardy always works. So, like, it's part of the plan, like, to get them to the point where, you know, it's like that real-life thing where you put two people in an extreme situation.
Fight or fly.
Yeah, and it can force them having to survive together to form some sort of bond, right, that may have not been there. And these two, so basically the premise, right, at the beginning was that Earth and humans, rather, are fucking up and can't keep relationships together anymore. Society has changed. Relationship types have changed. And it seems more and more people are ending relationships than keeping them, is the vibe I was getting, right? And these two are, their job is to form these relationships like Cupid. And they're told they're sort of on thin ice now, and their next pairing has to succeed or they'll have to stay on Earth, which they don't want to do.
The irony being that if they left them on their own, though, they would have got together, because all they kept doing was getting in their way.
True.
Yes.
But they were making the situation worse and worse, I guess, like I say, to try and force them together, but I don't know. They didn't. Yeah,
but if the bus that, you know, that great movie, The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down, otherwise known as Speed, has taught us anything, is that relationships formed under intense circumstances never work out, because Keanu says so.
I guess.
Also, or does Sandra Bullock say so? I think by Speed 2, it's proven, because they're not together anymore.
Yeah,
they should have just watched that movie.
Yep. Which will not be on the Heritage Film Club, by the way.
Speed 2.
Cruise Control, even with Tim the Jim Morrison in it. Okay. So, Clayton, did you like anything about it, or was it all just negative?
No, I like bits and pieces of it. Like, I like the Cameron Diaz shooting part, but then nothing came from it. I like the idea of him writing a book, but nothing came from it. And the angels, like how Jared said, confused me, because I thought they were trying to bring them all together, but then they just seemed to be digging a hole worse and worse and worse, and they're just getting in each other's way. So it just went round and round, and I was just like, I did enjoy the singing part, as you said, at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay.
That song's been stuck in my head for 2 days.
Yeah. I did enjoy the scene after he got done in the ditch,
mm-hmm.
and they're running off in the truck, and the female angel is on the back of the...
Oh, Terminator styles.
Yeah, and he goes underneath the front, mm-hmm. and then slides down the hill, gets pinned against the rock.
Smashed and against I'm like, the rock.
Mm. Oh, okay. And the only good thing I thought about when that happened was, where's the money? Because the money's still in the truck, and they left the truck there.
Mm-hmm. So the reason for the animated scene at the end during the credits, the stop motion scene, is because they got to the end of the movie and Danny Boyle realized they hadn't actually resolved what had happened to the bag of money by the end of it. And all the other actors, all the actors had gone off to other projects and he couldn't get them back. And so he decided to do that animated scene, which shows them find the bag of money and then I guess fly off to Scotland, or which apparently is in England, by the way, and according to Cameron Diaz. And that's why that scene exists. But again, another non-payoff.
I'm pleased you found that, because watching the animation bit at the end, I was thinking to myself, did they run out of money? I mean, to make the film.
That would have cost quite a bit too, though.
This just seemed, well, yeah, I guess so, but this just seems weird.
Yeah.
What's up with this? And I guess that makes sense then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even that whole ending scene with those two just like speaking to the camera was a little strange.
And showing the movie behind them.
They know a lot more people than I would have thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
He does, to come to the wedding.
Was anyone else sort of trying to figure out like the logic and the rules, I guess, to the angels being on Earth?
Yes, like, I was going to bring that up too.
Yeah, because there's like, I think early on she talks about how they don't get like their health expenses paid or whatever when they're on Earth. And like you see her obviously literally Terminator style. She gets crushed by that car and just gets up. I think she's got a cast on at some point.
Yes.
Both get shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the scene at the end where they get brought out of the body bags. So I was trying to figure out, like, do they actually get hurt or are they indestructible or what? That was kind of hard to figure out.
It seems when they're on Earth they can get hurt, obviously, because they do. They did die, by the look of it, because Dan Hedaya, their boss Gabriel, had to make that call to God to intervene.
So the head was the weak point?
No, I don't think they're like zombies. I think
okay.
It's just, but that's a good point, because they didn't establish that enough. Like, they didn't really set up what they are and what they can and can't do. But it seems that when they're on Earth, they are they can withstand a lot. Because like Clayton said, that she was on the front of that truck that went careening down the hill and smashed her in between the truck and a rock.
It was confusing how angel or how human they were, because mm-hmm. I mean, aside from all of that, when he's there on Earth and he's clearly quite depressed at various points, and she's there, she's reading the novel and she's clearly horny.
Oh yeah. Oh, yes. Very, very.
Yep. Thinking interesting angels. And then, as you say, there was lots of guns and chasing of money. Yep. And yeah, it was very scattergun. There was a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not quite sure how it hung together at all, or even if it was meant to. I'm not sure if it was intentional or not.
Mm. So that's the thing. Like, I came out of this movie going, yeah, I actually enjoyed it. And, but how often would I watch it? Like, is it a movie I could revisit once a year? Maybe not. But I could revisit it every few years, maybe. Because I wasn't bored. It's sort of like Thor Love and Thunder, which just came out, right? It's tonally all over the place. And it's not quite sure what it is trying to be. And that's the biggest comparison I could make, because I just watched that going into this.
I'd seen it before, around about 98 or something. Not brand new, but somewhere there or thereabouts. And happily, I didn't remember much of it really, if anything. But I was thinking back, because I'm not by any means a Ewan McGregor fan.
Oh, really?
And watching this now, rewatching it, I'm starting to wonder if this is possibly the first thing I ever saw him in, and now I understand why I'm not a Ewan McGregor fan.
Oh.
So I really didn't like him in this. I didn't like his character at all. Oh, I thought his character was just painful and stupid, really, if I'm honest. And yeah, I didn't dig it at all, other than Beyond the Sea scene. Terrific singing. I thought that whole thing was great. I enjoyed the hell out of that bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I'm just thinking, because I watched it, and largely speaking, just instead of focusing on characters, because you know me, I kept looking at actors and thinking, I loved Cameron Diaz in this. I thought she was my standout. I thought she was terrific.
Yeah.
Really liked her in this. I don't think, I'm not sure that for the ones that I've seen of her, that she really has a type of movie. No. So I just enjoy her in most things, I suppose. And I enjoyed watching the actors, but being aware of them as actors, going, oh, look, there's Ian Holm.
Mm.
And yeah, Ewan McGregor, and I enjoyed not at all. And I think that kind of tainted it a little bit for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you and I are never in agreement, Mike, about the stuff like this.
No, because I really like Ewan McGregor.
You like him, and you didn't like her in this, and I'm opposite.
Oh, I didn't not like her. I just, it's not my favorite Cameron Diaz role.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe because it's a bit against type, because I think she does have a type. Well, certainly during maybe the first part of the 2000s. She definitely had a type of movie she was in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not seen the Charlie's Angels movies for one thing, so I'll put that out there.
But she did.
I'm not sure whether that counts.
But Something About Mary.
Oh, Something About Mary. Yep. Yeah. And The Sweetest Thing was quite good with Selma Blair and Christina Applegate and her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she definitely did a lot of those sort of. Well, she was definitely a comedy actress, right, for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think the role's the same, though. You know, this one is kind of out there for her particularly.
Definitely.
You know, it was an interesting role, I thought. And I thought it was an interesting character. But she's, you know, a little underdone. Like you say, Clayton, there's the gun and Never Again. Her motivation's a little bit weird. Thinking, what does she see in him kind of thing? But maybe that's it for me. He's just kind of – I like the fact that she knows a lot about kidnapping.
Because she's had it done to her one time when she was like 10 or something. And she's got an extremely great memory. Well, I suppose you would remember that, though.
Trauma.
Oh, it's very horrible. Like, they took a pint of blood every week and sent it to my dad, and it took 6 weeks or whatever it was. And I was like, holy shit, man, this chick is screwed up. And she is.
She's screwed up. I think dad's got problems.
That dad is horrible. Also, is he really that short, or did they make him look shorter? Because is he that short an alien? I know he is in the Lord of the Rings.
Not a tall man.
Or whatever it is he's in.
Pretty short guy, I think, yeah.
Because he looks extremely short in this. I was wondering if they just gave him an oversized chair and a massive desk, because it looked like he barely came over it.
Yeah. But a really big bag of money.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, I always like to see Ian McNeice pop up and stuff. And like I said, there was some really cool pieces. I liked Maury Chaykin's character, especially when he first comes to the cabin. He's the neighbor who lives up on the hill. And when he said, and I said to him, one bark if they're good people or two barks if they're bad people, he's like, oh, he's a dog. He's like, well, no, why would I talk to a dog? And then when you go to the bar, you see the guy barking in there.
And then he says he has to go home to feed him.
Yeah. It's like the one thing that actually pays off in this movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But yeah, I really like that character as well, especially when he puts him on the spot in the bar and he remembers all those stats.
Close personal friend.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool.
One idea that I find really depressing, and I've seen it in other movies, is because I think like Delroy Lindo's character talks about how he was alive at some point, right? He wasn't just like an angel all his life. He was alive on Earth. But imagine dying and then having to get a job.
It's like, that's why we're trying to die.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the afterlife and then have to work. Like, that just defeats the whole point of an afterlife.
Yeah.
I think the same thing happened in Coco. There's in that sort of
afterlife. Oh, it did too, yeah.
There's all these people working. Like, how...
like, depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad would that be?
I'd never really considered the admin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck, wouldn't it? But what if you end up with you had to get a job and then you end up working for the same people you worked for in your actual life?
And what's the point?
Pass. No thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Purgatory it is.
Yeah. All right. See, tight 30 minutes, told you. Very good. Yeah.
Did you enjoy the Dalek-looking robot cleaner? Yeah. They couldn't break the window.
No, the very early Roomba.
Very, yeah.
And then he just starts shooting it. Those weren't very good security guards in that office.
Just the worst.
Or the bank.
The gun kicked to him, he was able to get it. Like, yeah.
Oh, the bank guy was taking a dump while he was getting robbed.
Sure was. Yeah. But he still managed to shoot Ewan McGregor.
That was kind of strange, though. Like, how did Ewan McGregor's character just randomly have, like, this vision of her being shot in the car? Like, is there anything else in the movie where he's, like, having visions of what's going to happen?
No, but then how do you explain the whole ending of the movie, too, where he gets shot through the heart and...
Yeah. It's just sort of a random, unexplained thing.
Yeah.
And she knows to do it and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just repairs itself.
Because he had the dream that he was going to get shot in the heart and it would save him.
Yeah, but that's still not going to make me go, you know what, I'm going to try it. So what other options do I have? I don't know. Oh, man, I don't know.
And the other guy...
The other guy
got shot in the heart as well because it went right through him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even dead. He's just on the ground going, ah.
Yeah. Well, he's bleeding out, I assume.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's Ian McNeice's character is a bit weird too because it's like at the start, it appears that he's her butler or whatever you want to call it, her manservant. Because she's the super rich chick who, I don't know if she lives at daddy's house or not, but I'm going to assume so because of this. But then it turns out he's the right hand to Ian Holm and he's the, you know, the guy who is like his personal hitman or whatever. But then why does he have to hire Holly Hunter and Dalroy Lindo?
Yeah, that's a good point. Clearly nerves of steel because it's fairly safe to assume it's not the first time he's been shot at with the apple.
Yeah, he doesn't even
bring the apple. It's an odd one.
It is, but the whole movie's odd, but that's sort of probably what I like about it. Yeah. It's like just go for whatever ride it's trying to take you on, whether it makes sense or not. And I had enough enjoyment out of it, so I'm happy.
Ewan McGregor's character, again, terrible with the character names, but he obviously doesn't have a very good memory because he doesn't recognize the two as the people who came to repossess his house.
Or to a victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sort of make that connection that those are the same people who are chasing him down for the whole movie.
Well, to be fair, they get the name of their own company wrong because when they go to a victim, they call it the Firm But Fair Eviction and Collection Agency, but the building says it's the Firm But Fair Collection and Eviction Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. They can't remember. How's he supposed to?
Mm.
And she had an accent too.
Well, her normal accent.
She did quite put it on when she was sort of discussing the terms of how they were going to
Get his
daughter back though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very strong in that scene. But I'm pretty sure she has the accent in Raising Arizona, which is a great movie.
Yes, that's possibly where you and I are at odds or at opposite ends of something again, Mike. Because I've not seen Raising Arizona. But Holly Hunter is someone I'm not even on the fence on. I'm not sure I've ever really enjoyed her in a movie. And just the thought of her and Nicolas Cage in the same movie. Even Nicolas Cage back then, it may just be a sensory overload. I'm not sure I can deal with it.
Yeah, it's a performance by Cage in that movie, that's for sure.
Very Cage of the time. But anyway.
Yeah. Did you know, Brian might, did you know this had a comic adaptation and that comic was printed over multiple parts in 2000 AD?
You kid me.
I'm not kidding you.
Well, I didn't know any of that.
Okay. 2000 AD. So starting with issue 1063 in 1997, 2000 AD, printed an 8-part, 48-page drawn adaptation of the movie, scripted by David Bishop and drawn by Steve Yewell? I don't know.
Oh, Steve Yewell.
Yeah, there you go.
Zenith. Nice.
There you go. It met with a mixed reception from readers. No shit, that doesn't really seem to fit the tone of 2000 AD. No. The first cover was posted under miscellaneous URLs. So, there you go.
Hmm.
I thought that might tickle your fancy.
Did the whole movie as a comic?
Yep.
Wow.
And condensed down to 48 pages.
Weird.
Which is basically the length of just over two normal comic books.
Yeah. Didn't think 2000 AD ever adapted anything, or I may be wrong.
Also, it just does really not seem to fit.
No,
the type of stories 2000 AD.
Yeah, they did some weird stuff in the 90s, in the late 90s, but even that's a bit odd. Maybe one of the editor knows Danny Boyle or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I may have to dig that out.
Be interesting to see. Probably can Google it.
Yeah, I guess.
Right, so a couple more bits of trivia and then we can wrap it up. Have a short episode, it's all good. Julia Roberts was considered for the role of Celine, Cameron Diaz's role. I feel that by 97, she was way too big for this movie. Anyway. Also, Brad Pitt met with director Danny Boyle and the producer of the movie to play the lead, Ewan McGregor's lead. However, the movie was written specifically with Ewan McGregor in mind. And can you imagine if this movie was Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts?
Yeah, definitely would have been a different movie.
That would have been even weirder.
But I'll tell you what, if you do want to watch Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts, watch The Mexican. I really enjoyed that movie.
I wonder if Brad Pitt would have been Scottish.
Oh my gosh, if he put on the accent. Yeah, no, anyway, cool. I like Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz in this movie, so bullets dodged, I guess. Okay, so I guess that's about it, right?
I figure.
Oh, did you like the poem?
Oh,
Terry Lindo's poem.
Yeah.
And that took a turn too.
On the rails.
Yeah.
That he just wouldn't sort of take the assist and say, yeah, I did write that poem.
He would have been so confused though, because she just randomly turned up and starts reciting this poem. And he's like, of course you'd say, I didn't write that, because you don't know where she's going. You're angry at her.
He's clearly never seen any movies. It bugged the hell out of me. Are you really this stupid? And apparently he was.
Yeah, well, that's basically what Tony Shalhoub's character told him.
Yes.
You're an idiot. She's way out of your league. Take the win.
You said that you wanted to have her baby. Did she see him wanting to have your baby?
You wrote the poem.
What's the harder thing to do? Live with a lie for a very long time. Or go and rescue her from the people with guns.
True.
Idiot.
Idiot, yep. But hey, it all worked out in the end, right? And that's the whole point. So, happily ever after at the end, even though we got shot through the heart. And they got the bag of money, sort of. And lived in a castle in Scotland. England. So, here we go. Right. Let's do thumbs.
Mike, do you usually watch these movies for the podcast with your wife, or are you usually watching them like by yourself?
Myself. Okay. By myself. Although when I said this was the movie, she goes, oh, I might be interested in that, and then went to bed. So I watched them by myself.
Yeah. I watch like a few of these with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last three that we've watched together, she has absolutely hated. Like, I thought she was going to like this one, but no, she hated it. She hated Ewan McGregor as well. I think before that it was Colour Out of Space and Circle.
Yep.
Was just absolute hates. So we're not on a good run.
Someone agreed with me on the Circle.
Yeah.
Not the Circle, just Circle.
Yeah, I think it is my pick, so hopefully I can get something she doesn't like this time.
Well, let's get the what's sure to be low thumb scores out of the way first, and then we'll go over to your pick. So let's pull the Band-Aid off, Jared.
Give it a one. Enjoyed it enough. Didn't love it, but yeah.
Cool. All right. Take it. Brian.
I mean, it's a half.
That's fine.
It's a half. It's a half for Cameron Diaz and Beyond the Sea.
Nice. Okay, and Clayton?
I'm giving it 3/4.
You don't do fractions.
I am now.
That's very rare.
You don't know, from like going no fractions to just like going any sort of fraction.
But Brian's sitting there going, damn it.
No, because I gave half to 8 Mile, right?
Okay.
And
you like this better than 8 Mile?
Yeah, to a degree.
Right.
Like
1/4 thumb degree.
I liked bits and pieces of it. Like, it didn't make any sense, but I, like, the viewing was better than 8 Mile. It was that way.
Okay.
Mike, take the win. Clayton gave Color Out of Space 1/2.
Oh, no, I'm taking the
win. Yeah, because that would have got more if I had aliens in it.
It had aliens in it. Okay, we're not going to have this conversation every episode. Moving on. I didn't know what to give this at all. Yeah, I think 1 as well. It was either 1 or 1.5, but I think 1 because I would watch it again, but not in a hurry. So what does that give us? 2?
That gives us 3.25.
Okay.
Out of 8. And thank you, XL, for doing all the hard work for me. 40.63%.
Ooh, that's almost in line with the critics, which was 41. What? I am on a roll of just torpedoing torpedoing my run of high-rated movies. I'm on a roll this season.
And
so
we're watching Clayton evolve with the quarterfinals. Yeah.
We're variants from the multiverse. We're just swapping places. So I'm going to see if I can keep up my my theme next time. But in the meantime, we're going to roll around back to Jared.
Do we have any Twitter comments?
I don't know if there's anything, no offense, but I don't think there's anything worth reading. But look, I'll have a quick find. Give me 1 second as I fill in dead air by just talking while I look for the right Twitter profile. And here it is.
Consider and talk about what it's possible to achieve with 3/4 of an opposable thumb.
It's not as opposable.
Because you've still got 1.25 left. So you can literally still have mobility of your hand with a little quarter bit of a thumb.
You can grab one thing and kind of stab at things with the other quarter.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I apologize. There are comments I didn't see come through. So, hey, look at that. I'm reading them for the first time too.
Nice.
All right, so let's do it. Shoot the Flick at Shoot the Flick said, it's pretty good according to Frankie. So one of them has seen it and thought it was pretty good. So I'll take that because I thought it was pretty good too. I thought it was good. All right. Sorry You're in My Seat podcast. Follow them at SYIMS_podcast. This is in my, I know I've seen it, but can't remember anything about it list of films. Maybe I'm just getting old. You and me both, buddy.
All right, is that a repressed memory or is it just a time thing?
No, it sounds like it's a time thing.
I'm like, which one is it?
he said he must be getting old, so it's a time thing.
I know.
All right. Jordan Courtney at JN Courtney. I've seen it. I love it. I think it's an underappreciated gem in Danny Boyle's career, and that goes for everyone on screen as well because they are all fantastic. Quirky and offbeat, but with so much heart. Which got shot through Holly Hunter, Dalroy Lindo, and Dan Hedaya as murderous angels. I like when Dan Hedaya pops up and stuff. So for reference, he was the main villain in Commando with an accent and a fake tan to look Latino. So there you go. Well, actually, Hedaya is his last name, so I guess he is.
That's the reference you give? No Cheers?
Oh, yeah, no Cheers. Clueless? Yeah. Yeah, include, yeah. Yeah. No, enough. Commando. That was a 100% movie on our podcast, so of course I'm going to reference it.
Yeah, 100% right. With an asterisk, mate.
No asterisks. If you're not there, you don't get the vote. Right,
yeah,
hang
just
on,
like
we're not finished.
You're not there and we watch Circle.
Magnificently Huge at Mag Huge. Honestly, pretty much only remember the soundtrack, which is actually really good. It's very of its time, but there were quite a lot of songs I liked, and Ewan McGregor singing Oasis is always a win for me because I like Oasis.
That's just Jackson and Beck on the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Total timestamp on this movie.
Totally.
Nice.
Monster Morales at Monster Morales. Needs less romance, more lightsabers, stormtroopers, and Ewoks. It was meh. Hey, look, it's catching on, and you don't even say it anymore. This is amazing.
Well, it's coming back. That's two in a row now, I think.
It's coming back. Yeah, someone else did say it last time.
Renaissance.
And there was one more, if I can find the quote tweet, because people like to make my life difficult. And that person is at Film Rage, YYC, who said, for us it was a pass, other than our love for Yu-Yu. It's a rage for us. Right. That's the first time I've heard him referred to as Yu-Yu. So that's like a Taylor Swift thing. All right, so we're done with the Twitter. So, Jared, what are we watching on the next episode? Oh, thank you for the Twitter comments. More than I thought there was, so appreciate it. Jared, what are we watching on the next episode?
Well, I'll apologize in advance to you, Clayton, because there are no aliens in this one.
Damn it. Okay.
Maybe next time. So I think all of us can agree that the news and news media in general, it's just fantastic. It's honest, fair.
Why do you keep doing this?
It's an ethical industry. Like there's no agenda. It's just about educating the people, keeping us up to date. So I thought I'd do a movie that basically celebrates the best parts of the news media. It's from director Dan Gilroy. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, Bill Paxton, and Riz Ahmed. It is from 2014, and it is a thriller. We are watching Nightcrawler.
Okay, can I just say something that I say on every podcast when it's your choice? Yet again, it's on my list. And I almost watched it a couple of weeks ago, so I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't.
Nice. Awesome. It's definitely been one that I've been meaning to get to. Every time I watch something with Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm like, really got to go and watch Nightcrawler.
Never seen it.
Nor me.
Not the X-Men. FYI.
No, not that one. I like when you guys haven't seen the movie I pick.
Yeah, it's always fun. Worked out well with Wind River. All right, cool. So next episode of the Heritage Film Club will be Nightcrawler. I expect comments on Twitter because I'm sure people have seen this one. And we can start to close off this episode, I think. So follow us at Heritage Film Pod on Twitter and leave your comments on Nightcrawler when I make the post. And, yeah, I think we're done. By the way, Brian, thanks for ending the show last time when I wasn't here on the correct phrasing. That was really nice. And with that, I'll repeat. What was that?
It had to be done. We're a team. We're a club.
It had to be done. But I just like how you said, I think it's something like... We are out, and then it just naturally flowed out. It was really nice. So,
you missed it. You could have just closed it off there.
Yeah, I missed it. Much like I missed going out of the circle episode with the laser sound, whatever it was. Whatever, I didn't even put a clip at the end. I hated that movie so much. All right. So
really, I didn't know.
Yeah. We are out.
Thanks for listening.
Is she gone?
Yeah.
Nice looking woman.
She isn't my type.
What are you talking about? Look at yourself. You're nobody. You're nothing. You're wanted in connection with a violent crime. You're cleaning the floor of a diner. She is an intelligent, passionate, beautiful, rich woman. The issue of whether or not she is your type, not one that you are likely to have to resolve in this world. She's there watching for or indeed the next, since she will be going to some heaven for a glamorous pussy. And you will be cleaning the floor of a diner in hell.
I guess so.
So why are you even thinking about it?
I don't know.